thank God that we're not waiting on the victory, hoping for the victory, praying for the victory, but we already have the victory. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 is where we will find our scripture text. For this morning, we give thanks unto the Lord for his goodness and his mercy unto us. We thank him for the privilege it is to gather together in his name this morning. How many of you need to hear a word from the Lord this morning? Amen. We need to hear from the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today, for it is your word that gives life. It is your word that gives us the victory. It is your word that feeds us day and night. It is the reason why we're able to stand today is because of your word. Your word sanctifies us and sets us apart. Your word changes our mind and strengthens our spirit. So it is with that expectation that we come today waiting and eager to hear a word from you. Speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Today we will do part 3 of our sermon series called Limitless Life. Today we will talk about limitless grace. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in the time of need." Man, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Whenever I feel like I need some help, I come to this scripture and says, he says that we could come boldly to the throne of grace. We don't have to come with our heads hung down. We don't have to come intimidated, but we can come boldly with confidence to the throne of grace. And what will we find? We will obtain mercy and find grace. Hallelujah. If you come, you obtain mercy and find grace. What kind of grace? Grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. I'm coming to tell you this morning, whatever you need, there is help for you this morning. The last couple of Sundays, we've been looking at what it means when Jesus promised us in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, "I come that you might have life more abundantly." It says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you might have life abundantly." Abundantly, which means we're not just survivors. We're not just getting through it. Our testimony, I told y'all first Sunday in January that our testimony is not I'm barely making it kind of testimony. That's not our testimony. Our testimony isn't we don't know how we got through that last one and I'm holding on by the skin of my teeth. No, that is not our testimony. Our testimony is that we are more than conquerors. Come on, somebody. Our testimony isn't that, oh, I just made it through another 24 hours. No, our testimony is that God has given me the victory every day and in every way. So we live this abundant life. First Sunday, January, we said part of this abundant life is having limitless faith. Which we said limitless faith means that there is no limit to what we will respond to. If God tells it to us, if God gives us the word, there is nothing that God tells us to do that we won't do. There is no limit to our faith. We will go wherever he wants us to go. We'll say whatever he wants us to say, and we'll do whatever he wants us to do, and we can do it through Christ who strengthens us. that we won't limit our response to God by our resources, by our capabilities, by what we have. But if God said it, we will do it because he's more than able to bring it to pass. Then last Sunday, we talked about limitless wisdom. If we're living by faith, we're responding to what God has called us to respond to, then that means that whatever we need to know, God is going to tell us. He will give us the wisdom we need. How do you know? The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, ask God. And he gives it graciously and generously, and he doesn't hold back. So as I'm responding to the call of God for my life, everything I need to know to do what he has called me to do, he will give me the information that I need. God is not going to leave us out here in the dark trying to figure things out on our own. He says, if you want wisdom, just ask me. You want to know how to deal with that supervisor? Ask me. You want to know how to figure out your finances? Ask me. Remember, we said, according to Scripture, wisdom is not just when you receive the Spirit, you get wisdom. And that's not just the wisdom and the power to be a good church member, but it's the wisdom and power to do whatever it is you have to do in this life. Something's wrong with the church where we think our power is limited to the four walls. But in here, we're just getting started. The real work is when we go out into the world and we conquer whatever we need to conquer and figure out whatever we need to conquer. And if we don't know, I used to hear a saying, if you don't know, ask somebody. And for the believer, if we don't know, we ask God. Hallelujah. And he knows everything. And he gives us everything that we need to know. So we have limitless faith. We respond to everything. We have limitless wisdom, which means we know everything we need to know. And today we're going to talk about limitless grace. Now, grace is a very churchy word. There are many avenues of grace. There are many variations of grace. And I could spend the next 14 Sundays talking about grace and never really scratch the surface. So I'm just going to attempt a couple of things this morning. By way of definition, when you look in the Old Testament, grace describes deliverance from enemies, affliction, and adversity. It is the grace of God that allowed Israel to conquer their adversaries and enabled them to go through the wilderness. The Old Testament grace talks about enablement, guidance, and forgiveness, where God, through his grace, forgives us for our offense against him. Now, in the New Testament, grace focuses primarily on the provision of salvation, for it is by grace that you are saved. When Paul talks about grace, he is always talking about salvation. He's not talking about the grace to conquer your adversaries. He's not talking about the grace to bear a heavy load. He is talking about the grace that was given to you by salvation. He said it is the gift of God, not of works. How many of y'all know salvation is a gift? You can't work your way into heaven. You can't give your way into heaven. You can't fast your way into heaven. Salvation is a gift given to us by the grace of God. So theologians put it together, those two definitions of grace, and they say that grace is God's unmerited favor or undeserving favor. Now, that definition of grace is a problem for this generation. Today's culture, it is difficult for us to understand and appreciate grace because we don't see ourselves as undeserving. Okay, look at you. Don't roll your eyes yet. We almost here. Huh? It's difficult for us to appreciate grace. Because when we say unmerited favor, undeserving favor, we don't feel that we qualify in that undeserving favor. That's why something happens to us, we say, why me? The early church never asked, why me? We say, why me? Because somehow we think that we deserve better than what we have right now. We say, it's not fair. I'm a good person. So this should not be happening to me. So now when we talk about grace, it is difficult for this culture to appreciate grace. Well, part of the problem is preaching has changed over the years. The early church fathers preached that man was sinful, wretched, evil, unworthy. The early church fathers preached that we were good for nothing. We were desperately in need of mercy, and anything we received other than death was a gift. The early church fathers taught us that you, outside of Christ, you have nothing to look forward to but death, hell, and the grave. That's what they taught us. That's what they preached. They preached about hell. They preached about sin. They preached about how depraved you are. You might be beautiful on the outside, but the church father said you are ugly and nasty and dirty on the inside. We celebrate you, but God looks at you as dark and dirty and evil and unworthy, fit for nothing but hell. That's what the early church fathers taught us. But our culture is the positive thinking culture. It's the culture of having a positive self-image and self-esteem, that you wouldn't dare consider yourself unworthy of gifts and blessings and favor and goodness. You are taught from the time you are born that you are beautiful, you are lovely, you are special, you are unique, and you are worthy of all the wonderful things that the world has to offer you. So now our gospel isn't geared towards people who recognize they need a savior, but our gospel is geared towards people who are looking for a way to live a better life. How to better manage your money, how to improve your relationships, how to be happy, how to live your best life. Now we come to church and we want a preacher to give us 6 steps on how to be our better selves. We rarely consider the fact that everything we have, we owe it to grace. It's a difficult concept for us to get now. Because in order to appreciate grace, you must first appreciate how wretched you really are. Ooh, it's tight, but it's right in here. Huh? It's hard to appreciate favor. Listen, if you go to a job, and I'm praying for our government employees who are expected to work and not get paid, there's something ungodly about that, but that's all I'm going to say about that. But if you go to a job and you get paid on a Friday, that company did not do you a favor. You earned that paycheck. If you work day after day after day and you get paid, that job didn't bless you. They paid you what you were due. When it comes to grace, there is nothing that you can do to earn the favor of God. Everything we have is a gift of grace. We owe grace everything. The fact that you woke up this morning was a gift. The fact that you walked in here was a gift. The fact that you are able to have eyes that see is a gift. The fact that you are able to eat food is a gift, and that you have a stomach that digests that food, it's a gift, and you have organs that processes the food that you eat is a gift. The fact that you can get up in the morning and decide what you're going to wear is a gift. It's the fact that you can get in a car and drive somewhere is a gift. The fact that you get home is a gift. The fact that you're able to come to church and sleep while I'm preaching is a gift. Come on, Paul. That was for you. Wake up, Paul. I know you worked last night, but pay attention. Huh? It's a gift. It is God giving us favor that we don't deserve. Lord, have mercy. Can we thank God for grace this morning? Hallelujah. It's my objective this morning. I'm not going to be here too much longer, but my objective this morning is to remind us of our need for grace and help us to know how grace impacts our life every single day. Our life is impacted by the grace of God. And it's hard to complain when you realize just how good God has been to you. It's hard to complain when you realize that every day God gives you things that you don't deserve. I want to go over what I've identified as 6 gifts that grace gives us every single day of our life. There are 6 gifts, and I'm going to go through them quickly. There's 6 gifts that grace gives us every day. The first gift is forgiveness. Grace gives us forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is not something that church folk think about a lot. We often don't think of ourselves as in need of forgiveness because for the most part, we're not hopping from bed to bed or bar to bar. We're not out cussing, killing, stealing, doing all those things that we consider sins. So we don't consider ourselves in constant need of forgiveness. But the Bible says that anything that is not of faith is sin. Lord have mercy. So your complaining is sin. Your worry is sin. Your doubt is sin. There's sins of commission, which means there are things that we commit that are sin. And then there's sin of omissions, which means there are things that we omit. Those things are sin too. The Bible says, to him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I know we've been in church a long time, but sin is still an issue for us. We are still in desperate need for grace that forgives us from our sins and cleanses us from unrighteousness. And I believe that as a believer, we should not end any prayer without asking for forgiveness. Matter of fact, let's start with forgiveness, because nothing matters if your sins are not forgiven. Money in the bank doesn't matter if your sins are not forgiven. A healthy body doesn't matter if your sins are not forgiven. Promotion and friends and family, none of those things are worth anything if your sins are not forgiven. The first thing the Bible says is come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. Listen, before you get to grace, you got to stop by the altar of mercy. Because if you're going to approach the throne of grace, you must realize that what you are worthy of is death. You are asking for something you don't deserve. So you have to settle your account first. You got to settle your account at the altar of mercy. He said, you'll obtain mercy. Why? Mercy is different than grace. Mercy doesn't give you what you do deserve. That's why you throw yourself on the mercy of the court. You say, court, I am guilty. I am worthy of a death sentence, but I'm asking you for mercy. Don't give me what I deserve. So he says, before you ask for grace, you need to receive some mercy. Hallelujah. You get forgiveness, right? Then he says, you go to grace, and grace gives you what you don't deserve. See, they function very differently, but you can't have one without the other. You can't have mercy without grace, and you can't have grace without mercy. And mercy is what God uses to forgive us daily. So we have the gift of forgiveness. Secondly, we have the gift of acceptance. Do you know that God could forgive us and not accept us in relationship at the same time? Do you realize that God can be just, holy, righteous, and faithful, and yet not allow us to call him Father? Do you realize that God can be as good as he is and never invite us into relationship with him? Can I tell you, the fact that you are able to pray at all is a gift of grace. The fact that you, out of all the people in the world, can go home in your closet and have a conversation with the Lord and know that he hears your prayer is an act of grace. So we are accepted. The Bible says that we are accepted in the beloved. So not only are we forgiven, but we are accepted. The third thing that we receive from grace every day is the gift of his presence. Every single day of our lives, God promises us his presence. His word says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What does that mean? That means that God is not distant from us. I need us to hear this, that God is not sitting up in his throne outside of reach for us. We don't need somebody to go and talk to God for us. But I heard somebody say not too long ago that God is as close to you as your breath. That he promises us his presence. And I don't know about you, but I went through a whole lot in 2018. And the only thing that got me through it was because I knew that no matter where I was or what I was going through, God was present with me. The Bible says he's a very present help in the time of trouble. And every once in a while in our darkness, he graces us with his presence. Means he makes his presence known. And I'm concerned that we take for granted the fact that we can experience the presence of God. Listen, I love to see all of you, and I would love for this church to be packed, but I don't want to go to a church that God doesn't go to. I don't want to go to a church where everybody else is present but God. Hallelujah to God. I don't care about the programs. I don't care about the preaching. What is most important and precious to the child of God is his presence. Hallelujah. And isn't it good to know that as we're going through, sometimes he doesn't change the situation. He doesn't move people out the way. He just says, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Sometimes even as a friend, the best thing you can do is offer the ministry of presence. Just, I don't know what to say, so I'm just going to sit here and hold your hand. And if you cry, I'm going to cry too. It is the grace of God that embraces us with his presence. That if everybody walks away, he says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. It is a gift. So we have forgiveness, we have acceptance, and we have his presence. That no matter what we go through, God is with us. The fourth thing, the gift that we receive from grace every single day. And I want to pause here and remind you that this is something we receive every single day. Every single day, we receive the gift of forgiveness, the gift of acceptance, the gift of the presence of God in our life. Number four is the gift of enablement. The gift of enablement. God intervenes to give us power and strength. He gives us the ability to conquer whatever it is that we are going through. Isaiah 40:29 says, he gives power to the faint, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Can I tell you, what you may be going through right now, it may be too much for you, but it's not too much for God. Here's the thing. He intervenes in our affairs, and he gives us the strength and the power to do things that we could never do on our own. We should not go through life depending upon our own strength. I need you to hear this clearly, because some of us are worn out because we're trying to do it ourselves. Some of us can barely get up in the morning because we have tried to carry this load and do what we're doing depending upon our own strength. And some of us are stuck in a holding pattern because we're figuring, I need to get enough strength to do it. I can't move any forward because I don't have any strength. Is there anybody in here who on Monday said, I can't do it anymore? And then you got up on Tuesday and you did it again. And then Tuesday night, you said, not another day. And then you got up on Wednesday and did it all over again. Then you went to work on Friday and said, not another day. And here comes Monday and you do it all over again. Anybody ever wondered why every time you say you can't take it anymore, you keep on taking it? It is the grace of God. Come on. I'm not going to tell so much of my business, but you don't know some Sundays what I have to do to drag myself in here and stand in front of this pulpit, and I look back and say, how is it that I was able to do what I have to do while I'm going through what I'm going through? It is the grace of God who gives us strength and power to do what we cannot do on our own. Ah, yes, God. I need you to change your language. Now, don't get offended, but let me tell you, every time you say you can't handle it, you can't go through it, you can't deal with it, it's too much, you are lying. Please come back next Sunday. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's grace. And if you read the full context of that scripture, that means you can face anything. You can conquer anything. You can go through anything. You can get anything done. You can get it done with a lot. You can get it done with a little. You can do it, get it done with a broad network, and you can do it with no network at all. Whatever it takes, You can do it. Why? Because the grace of God gives us strength to endure things that we can never endure on our own and do things that we can never do on our own. Oh, yeah. We end up facing things that we say, Lord, I can handle anything but that. Lord, I can get through anything, but just don't let that happen. Talk to Job. The thing he feared the most happened. But guess what? God gave him the strength and the power to get through it, to get it done. Hallelujah to God. And it is the grace of God that we're able to get it done. So we have forgiveness. We have acceptance. We have his presence. We have enablement. Number five, and we're almost done. The gift of grace, he gives us freedom. He delivers us from anything that's trying to control us. The Bible says, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Grace delivers us from whatever is trying to control us. Sin is addictive. Don't look at nobody. But it always happens this way. Here a little and there a little. You play with it for a little while, you let it go, and then you pick it up again, play with it a little more. You grab a hold of it for a minute, you let it go, and then you grab a hold of it. And before you know it, the thing you were playing with starts playing with you. The thing that you had a hold of now has a hold of you. The thing that you tried to control is now controlling you. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter what you are addicted to. You can be addicted to food. You can be addicted to porn. You can be addicted to drugs. You can be addicted to lying, gossip, TV, sugar, whatever it is that you are addicted to. The power of grace frees us from whatever is trying to control us. Come on, somebody. I can live a life that is free because my freedom doesn't depend on me. My freedom depends on he who has set me free. Hallelujah to God. Listen, I don't know what has control of you this morning, but if you are a child of God, you can be free this morning. I refuse to accept that there are believers who are bound and can't help it. Listen, all of our excuses were nailed to the cross. That if we want to be free, we can be free. But here's the thing. Some of us say we want to be free, but we really don't want to be free. You know why? Because we don't know how we're going to live without it. Yeah. You're addicted to that relationship that's not healthy because you don't know how you're going to live without it. Okay. You're addicted to the food that you eat because you're an emotional eater. And if you stop eating, how are you going to deal with your emotions? Wow, it's quiet, huh? But it is God's will for us to be free from whatever is trying to control us. Grace gives us freedom, that I am free in Jesus. Hear what I'm saying. The last thing the adversary wants is for us to be free. Come here. He wants you to think that you can't control it. You can't help it. He wants you to think that everybody in your family is that way, so you're going to be the same way. But I come to serve notice on you that through the grace of God, you can be free from whatever is trying to control you. So we have forgiveness, acceptance, his presence, enablement, and freedom. Last gift we receive from grace is the gift of completion. The Bible says, he who has begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Christ. Listen, we are a work in progress. God is working on us. And through his grace, he doesn't give up on us. He keeps on working on us. We're stubborn, but he keeps on working. Disobedient, but he keeps on working. Not faithful, but he keeps on working on us. And he says he will perform it until the day of Christ. Here, what does he say? Here is the guarantee here that you will be whatever God has created you to be. Paul said, it is by grace that I am what I am. Paul realized that if you see any good thing in me, he said, there's no good thing in my flesh, but anything that you see in me that is good, it is because of grace. So we can't take credit for what God does in our lives. He starts it and he completes it. Let me say this and then we'll be done for the day. The adversary's job is to discourage you. Mm-hmm. The adversary's job is to convince you that you've missed your season and that last mistake you made was the big one, and God has changed his mind about you, and you've missed your season, and it's not going to happen. But I come with good news to you today. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you have made. It doesn't matter how bad it has gotten or how long it has been. God never stops what he starts. If he starts something, he always completes it. And the writer says, he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. In other words, he will complete what he started. Listen, he knew what you were when he started. He knew how many mistakes you would make when he started working on you. When he called you, he knew what you were, and he made this promise that if I started in you, I'm going to complete it. It doesn't matter how old you are, how poor you are, how uneducated you are. It has nothing to do with your will. It is all according to the will of God. You were created for his purpose, and everything he decided will be for you will come to pass. And it's because of grace does that for us. Hear me carefully. Stop talking yourself out of what God has spoken to you. You hear what I'm saying? God is not intimidated by time. God is not intimidated by circumstances. God is not even intimidated by the setbacks you may have in your life. Everything that God has spoken will come to pass in your life. Why? Because if he starts it, he always completes it. Would you stand to your feet? This grace that is available to us on a daily basis. Hebrews 4 tells us how to gain access to this grace. And it's the same way we gain access to the wisdom that we talked about on last Sunday. You got to ask for it. There's help available for us, but we have to ask for it. In your bulletins, I put this quote, that grace is available to each of us every day. Our spiritual daily bread. But we've got to remember to ask for it with a grateful heart and not worry about whether there will be enough for tomorrow. It says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. Know this, you're never in a position without help. Yeah. You never go through anything alone. It may look like you're alone. It may look like the people who said they were going to help you are not helping you, but it doesn't matter who breaks their promises to you. There is a limitless supply of grace available to us. My sister, you got help. Huh? There's help available for you, my brother. He said you'll find grace to help when? In your time of need. And I don't care who you are or what you have, all of us go through seasons where we have a need, where we're in a time of need. We need strength. We need encouragement. We need something. And the Bible promises us that there is grace to help. You cannot go through something that's too big for grace. Yeah. You can't do something that's too big for grace. You can't need something that's too big for grace. Would you close your eyes? We're going to pray. You are surrounded by the grace of God every single day. Every single day, there is grace for you. There's forgiveness, acceptance, the presence of God, the power of God is available to you. Lord Jesus, today we acknowledge that we are in desperate need of your grace. We acknowledge that because of our sin, we are inherently evil, and that our sin has qualified us for death and eternal judgment. We acknowledge that on our own, we could never earn your favor. On our own, we could never earn your love or earn the right to have relationship with you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that through the sacrifice and offering of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, we have access to you and forgiveness of our sins. We thank you that we could come boldly to your throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in our time of need. God, we thank you for forgiveness, for acceptance, for your presence, for your power. We thank you for your freedom that you offer us, and we thank you for the promise that you will complete the work in our lives. God, I pray that we will never forget these gifts of grace that we receive every day. I pray that we will be reminded that because of these gifts, we are never alone and never without help. God, I pray today for the person who is in this room right now who feels like they are all alone and there's nobody there to help them. I pray, God, that they will be assured of your grace and your presence today. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray today that their mind will change and they will be able to identify the many ways that you have poured out your grace towards them. Hallelujah. I pray, God, that in those moments where we want to complain and we want to say, why me? I pray that in those moments we will be reminded of your great grace towards us and your favor towards us and your endless blessings that you have poured out on us. God, I pray that we are not a church that doesn't appreciate grace. I pray that we are not a church that takes your mercy for granted. I pray that we are not a church that takes your love for granted. But I pray, God, that as we appreciate who we are outside of you, we will appreciate the grace that we received because of you. Hallelujah. And we say we owe everything to grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our healing, our life, our strength, our minds, the activities of our limbs, it's all because of grace. Hallelujah. And so we thank you for your grace this morning. Touch your people now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.